Well, again, good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As you can tell, we potentially are having some mic issues, so if you'll bear with it, we'll make it through here. But I'm grateful to get privileged to introduce our brother Ken. I consider him a friend and a brother. I've got to travel with him a few times, and I always enjoy being with him. Our jokes are equally bad towards each other, so we can speak to each other. Yes, he's offended by that, obviously. But with that, I give you our brother and elder Ken Orr.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Steve. I was just a thought that I had to say. We're singing this opening song, and I was looking at the chorus, you know, and it says, "Help us, Lord, we humbly pray, to improve this holy day." And kind of substitute this holy day for every day. Bless the Spirit from above, fill our hearts with heavenly love. And maybe that's kind of the theme of my sermon this morning, is this love of God. I'm not exactly sure where to begin. There's a song. Well, good morning, those in live streaming land. I greet you, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. Many of you are familiar with this song, and I was in my office here 2 or 3 weeks ago, and was listening to this song, and it's triggered some thoughts in my mind. And our brother Jose, when he was doing sacrament service last week, he made a statement. And it's a true statement. He said, and I don't know if he used the word I or we, but we're not worthy to partake this morning. And in our own individual lives, in our own humanness, we are not. But it's because of the love of Christ and his sacrifice that we are worthy. Anyway, it's a song by Kris Kristofferson, and many of us are familiar with it. It says, "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Why me, Lord?" I was standing here, we were singing the song this morning, and I was looking at your faces. I was looking at your faces, and I saw the faces of, and I don't want you to get a big head about this, I saw the faces of some of the best people in the world. The best people in the world. God has chosen us to be part of his kingdom. And we are. The day that we gave our lives to Christ, the day that we were baptized, we became members and citizens of the kingdom of God. The only way we can lose that is through our own actions. I remember when I was baptized, and I'll never forget this statement. Shortly after I was baptized, Brother Sheldon, he came to me and he said, "Welcome to the kingdom of God." And those words have stuck with me. You know, just a simple statement, "Welcome to the kingdom of God." And I have to, going back 45, 50 years of my life, I have to ask the Lord, "Why me, Lord? What would I ever do?" I never did anything to deserve to be part of the kingdom of God. In my life, my first 20, 25 years of my life, I did absolutely nothing that would warrant God to be mindful of me. Why me, Lord? And that's maybe the statement that we have this morning. Why are we here? What did we ever do? We did nothing. We did nothing to deserve that love of Christ, his overwhelming love. You know, it says, and we're not going to turn to it, but it says in John, we're familiar with it, he says, "God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." That's the love that Christ had for us. He came willingly. He's the one that set it up. You know, he's the one that created us. He's the one that laid the foundation of the world. And he knew when he did that, that he was going to come at some point in eternity and give his life for us. You know, he said to his apostles, "What greater love, no greater love has any man than to lay down his life for his friends." And he called his disciples his friends, his apostles his friends. I would like to extend that to include us, that we are the friends of God. That he came and he gave his life, that through his blood, we have hope. We have that eternal salvation that is spoken of. So his overwhelming love, sometimes you have experiences that you cannot describe. You know, we read it in the scriptures, in the Book of Mormon especially, that, you know, the Lord spoke words that they could not repeat. You know, they had experiences that they could not explain in writing or words. And I'm not saying I hadn't experienced anything, but I was just impressed one day as I was praying about the overwhelming love of God. It, you know, the love that we have for each other pales in comparison. It's just his love swallows up our sins. His overwhelming love and his sacrifice and his blood and his compassion, his mercy, just swallows our sins. And I think maybe that's why we're commanded to have that charity in our lives, that pure love of Christ, because that pure love of Christ swallows up our sins for each other. That when we view each other, it does. I've had experiences where that love of Christ, looking at people through the eyes of Christ, have swallowed the sins. There were no more. I went to the Ontario reunion this past weekend, and what a blessing. What a blessing it was for me. It was small. I think 35 or 40 at the most were in attendance. But from the time we got there Friday evening till we were done Sunday afternoon, the Spirit of God was there. It was there in our services. It was there in our conversations. You know, between services, we had a lot of fun. But it was fun, I believe, kind of inspired by God. It was the kind of fun that we, as Christians, can have that the world doesn't understand. But anyway, and some of the thoughts that were presented during that reunion says, we are the people of God. That was one of the thoughts that were presented in a sermon. We are God's people. And as I looked out this morning and looked at your faces, truly, we are God's people. Everything is about God and us. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about God and us. Our relationship with Him, our service to Him, our fellowship with Him. That's what it's about. It's not about my individual wants, my individual desires, my individual hurts and joys. You know, we live in a me generation. Well, the Church of Christ and the gospel of Christ is not a me gospel. It's God's gospel. And it's about Him and us and our relationship with Him and our relationship with each other. That's what it's all about. And the important thing, another thought that came forward in that reunion was, the important thing is what is important to God. Not what's important to us. Not what's important to me at this particular point in my life. Or what's not important about my plans for the next week or the next year. What is important is God. What does God think? What's His desire? Going back to the song, what have I ever done? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done? Nothing. Except, and the only thing that God wants is our love and our devotion. Do we merit God's love? No, we don't. And I think that's important in our lives, that we understand that on our own, in our humanness, we merit nothing. What did Moroni? We are as the dust of the earth. But what makes us important is our hearts and our minds and our service and our love and our devotion. Because Christ died, because he gave his life, because of his blood, we are worthy. We're worthy to partake of the sacrament. We're worthy to be part of his kingdom only, as we read in Sunday school this morning, only through the grace of God. And the grace of God is his love for us. It covers our sins. I'm going to read a scripture about that later, but God's love. So the important thing is what is important to God, not what we think is important. Another thought that was presented was to the ministry. It says, we're called to preach, not to speak. We can speak of Christ and we can talk of Christ, but that's not our calling. Our calling is to preach with what? With that authority that God gave his ministry. People should see it. People should feel it. People should see Christ. We're to be the light of the world. And that light is the reflection of Christ. Of our own, we have no light. But we're like, I've explained this before, we're like the moon, that we reflect the light of Christ, and on a bright, clear night, and we can see perfectly almost. But when it's cloudy, or the moon has kind of waned in its fullness, it gets a little obscure. And that's with our lives as well. If we're doing what we're supposed to do and walking in that pure path that Christ has set, our light shines. But when we allow sin and distractions to enter in, that light dims. So we're to be the light of the world. Trust. One of the thoughts that was brought forth, we're to trust God. Sometimes our life is hopeless. When we look at it, we look at that self-mirror, and we look at our lives, oh my goodness, my life is ruined. My life is hopeless. My life is over. Got all these problems, got all these concerns, got all these feelings and emotions. We need to trust God. God can fill the void, and I can testify that. I'm not going to go into detail, but God can fill the void in our lives just by his presence. By his presence, God fills those voids that we don't need these other things sometimes. And then one other thought was, we determine by how we live, by our thoughts, our actions, our desires, we determine if we, at the judgment time, if we stand in the presence of God, and we're all going to stand there, good, bad, and the ugly, we're all going to stand in the presence of God, but we may not stand there for eternity. So we determine if we're going to stand for eternity in the presence of God, or are we going to be in the presence of Satan and his angels. That's our determination. We have no choice about eternal life. We have a choice about where we're going to spend it. We need to trust God in fulfilling his promises to us. So with that thought in mind, let's go to Luke chapter 21. And Christ had prophesied about the end of the world and the things that were going to happen. And I'm not going to go there, but in the verse 36, and he said, you know, All this going to overtake the world is a snare, but we need to be watchful. And in verse 36, on Luke chapter 21, he says, watch ye therefore and pray always. So we need to be alert. We need to be prayerful. That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I liken that to when Christ came here on this land and he said, you were spared because you were the more righteous. They went through it. They probably watched their neighbor's house destroyed or their family destroyed, or they didn't escape the wrath and the turmoil that was around them, but they were spared. And it may be the same for us. We may come through this unscathed. We may have to witness destruction. I don't know. That's not the point, is that we're worthy to escape, to live through it, to stand like the ancient brothers in the Book of Mormon before the Lord. And he said, you were spared because you were the more righteous. And then he says, to stand before the Son of Man. And that's the judgment, that we're worthy to stand before the judgment bar and be judged worthy. That love of Christ will cover our sins. This is the purpose of our lives. The purpose of our lives is to be able to stand before the Lord, and he can say, well done. Enter my rest. Nothing else. Nothing else in this life is important, except we hear those words, enter. If we hear that word, that one word, it's all we have to hear, one word, enter, then our life has been worth it. But if we don't hear that word at the end of our lives, nothing else has mattered that we've done. I was overwhelmed. Being unworthy and asking myself, why me, Lord? You know, when Marlene had passed away and I had that vision, okay, two things. One was that I was shown where Marlene is today. But there was another thing that happened that really, it humbles me. It humbles me because, you know, God could have sent his Spirit. He could have sent his Spirit to witness unto me and to give me peace and to comfort. But do you know what he did? He took time out of his... He's got a busy schedule. He took that 5 or 10 seconds that it took for that vision to come personally. He came to me in person and gave me that witness. Not his Spirit, but him personally. I'm not important. Why me, Lord? That's the love he had for me. He came in person and gave me that. I'm eternally thankful for that. Eternally thankful. 3 Nephi chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 32, and then I'm going to back up a little bit. Verse 32 on the 12th chapter of 3 Nephi, it says, therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto God. And if you back up to verse 31, at the very end it says, no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. I don't know about you, but here I stand on the outside of the gates, not eligible to enter because I'm unclean. I'm unclean in my humanness. I am unclean. In my life in Christ, I can be clean. So backing up, and this is to verse 25. Let's start at 25. And this is kind of the purpose of Christ coming. He says, these are the words of Christ. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the plan of salvation. We have his doctrine. We have his words. Like the Apostle Paul said, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Anyway, And this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his Son. That I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me, and my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. He came to die. He came to be lifted up on the cross. He came to give his blood, that through his blood we have eternal life. Through his love we have the remission of sins. We have eternal life. And after that I had been lifted up on the cross, I might draw all men unto me. Every one of us is going to stand before him. And he calls us daily. He calls people in the world. He calls us to his kingdom. I never did anything that he would call me in my life. But in his mercy and his love and his compassion, his foresight, I don't know what it was. He saw something in me that I am here today. He saw something in every one of you. Whether you're born in the church, whether you're a convert to the church, it doesn't matter. He saw something in every one of us that brought you here today, that brought you into his kingdom. We're not just members of the Church of Christ. What church do you go to? I go to the Church of Christ, you know, and we kind of mumble out who we are. That's not who we are. We're the people of God. We're heirs to the kingdom. That's who we are. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And this is, to me, where the love of Christ comes into the equation is, as we read in Sunday school, after everything that I can do, after everything you can do, it is the grace of God that saves us. We show our faith by our works. Not just the physical things that I can see, but we show our love and our faith and our devotion by what's in here. What's our thoughts? What's the thoughts that I can... I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking. But God knows. God knows our hearts. He knows our thinking. That's part of our works. Where's our mind? We leave here 12 o'clock, 12:30, or whenever we go back into the world. Do we take this with us, or do we start thinking things of the world? That's part of our works. Our good works are our thoughts and our desires, not just our actions. Yeah. 29, it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. Book of Mormon tells us, filled with the Holy Spirit. And if he endure to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. Jesus Christ will hold us guiltless. What does it say in verse 31? No unclean thing can enter the kingdom. But Christ can hold us guiltless. Our sins are gone. They're swallowed up in the love of Christ. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same as he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he has given unto the children of man. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he has given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter his kingdom. And then only those who are washed in the blood of Christ can enter his kingdom. So the original question, why me, Lord? What have I ever done? What have you done? What have we done to deserve to be here today? Nephi's, let's go to Nephi's prayer, second book of Nephi, chapter 4. And Nephi went to the Lord, he says, and he said, Lord, you've done all these things for me. You've shown me all these things. And then his question is, why am I angry? Why am I angry? Then I'm in the wrong. Second Nephi, I'm in the wrong chapter. That'll help me. Pardon me?
Chapter 3.
I knew I was in the wrong chapter. Thank you. So Nephi's saying, why am I angry? Why am I so angry at my brothers? Well, I can understand them being angry at the brothers. They wanted to kill the poor guy. You know, they tied him up. They beat him. They want to do all these things. They wanted to throw him in the ocean. So I can understand him being angry. Let's go to verse 46. Chapter 3, second book of Nephi, chapter 3. And I'm going to begin at 46. He says, awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. It was a sin. He realized that his anger was a sin. And he says, rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. And who's the enemy of our soul? Satan. When we have anger, when that enters in and takes hold, it's Satan working in our hearts. He's the enemy of our soul. But he says, do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever, and my soul will rejoice in thee, my God and the rock of my salvation. And that is who we belong to. That is who we believe in. That is who we worship. The rock. The rock of my salvation. Jesus Christ, he's our rock. He's our foundation. He's our only hope. It says, O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? Not even going to get into that. Every day in our lives, we have the opportunity to allow sin to come in. Do we shake at it? Do we abhor it? Or do we invite it in? Only you can answer that question. Only I can answer that question in my life. Do I open the door and allow sin into my life? But we're supposed to shake at the very appearance of it. Not just the actual sin, but the appearance of it. Then he goes on, may the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. That's the sacrifice that God wants from us, is a broken heart. A heart that recognizes our sin, recognizes our guilt before him, and are humble enough to come before him and seek his forgiveness in contrition. In contrition. And humility. Humility to him. Humility to our brothers and sisters. We are to have the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts for everyone. Each of you, my brothers and sisters, I have to have the love of Christ in my heart. If I don't, I fall short. What did we read in Sunday school this morning? So if we don't have charity, if we don't have that love of Christ in our hearts, not only for him, but for each other, what does the scripture say? We read it this morning in Moroni. It says we cannot enter the kingdom of God. If we don't have a charity, we cannot enter God's kingdom. Not my words. We read them this morning. 55, O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robes of thy righteousness? That's my cry. That's my plea almost on a daily basis. Lord, forgive me, of course, but strengthen me, hold me, direct me. May I feel your presence. And I think I said this before, but I was praying one day, you know, Lord, help me to have a cleaner heart and to have a right mind. And the Lord, he didn't speak to me, but it was impressed upon my mind. What are you doing to receive more? You know, there's a saying, if you do the same old thing, you're going to get the same old results. Am I improving? Am I increasing my service? Am I praying more? Am I being more attentive to my brothers and sisters? Am I more studying more? Am I doing more in my ministry and lessons and et cetera, et cetera? Basically, he's telling me, the more you do, the more I'm going to give you. 57. O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldst clear my way before me and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy? What are we told in Naomi? He says, pray against the enemy of your soul. Pray against Satan. Pray against his power. Pray that the Lord will make your way smooth, that he'll open that way. And I like these next verses. I really do. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that puts his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to them that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? And then the chorus. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you so. Help me, Jesus, my soul in your hands. Isn't that true? My soul, your soul, our souls are in the hands of God. Tell me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through on my way back to you. I'm not saying we've strayed, but is there anything that we can do for God? On our own, like our brother said, we're not worthy. We're not worthy, but through Christ, through his sacrifice, through his blood, through his great love, we are worthy of his blessings. We are worthy of eternal life. We are the people of God. Remember that. Remember, we are the people of God. And through his love, through his mercy, and through his blood, we have the hope of eternal life. Thank you.